Thousands of Wisconsinites turned out over the weekend to protest the Trump administration, with no Kings events being held in communities around the state. It's Monday, October 20th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the waters of the Great Lakes are at near record warm temperatures, and that means there's a high chance for lake effect snow this winter. And while midterm elections are more than a year away, campaign money is pouring into a congressional district in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Demonstrators took to the streets on Saturday in dozens of towns and cities across Wisconsin for No Kings rallies. Sarah Lear has this dispatch from one of those protests in Madison.
Anti-Trump chants rang out as an estimated 15,000 people marched to the state capitol. Among them was Pardo Shahidi, who said she's protesting for freedom and democracy. The Madison resident said those rights are the reason she became a U.S. citizen after coming to this country from Iran 30 years ago.
And if I want to lose it, I will go back home, which there is no freedom there.
Another protester, Donna Miazga of Wanakee, carried a sign that said, "They blame immigrants, so you won't blame billionaires."
I feel like it's just all about splitting us in two and fostering hate.
Miazga says she's been disturbed by videos of masked immigration agents pulling people off the streets. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
American Transmission Company wants to build high-voltage lines across several counties in Wisconsin to serve a data center development in Port Washington. A recent filing with the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin says the project would help meet the power demand for that data center. The company's preferred route is 90 miles long and would cost $1.4 billion. Tom Content is the executive director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin.
The fact that one line is costing over $1 billion is significant. And the fact that it's all being driven by the energy demands of essentially one customer is unprecedented.
Port Washington has approved the development agreement for the data center despite public opposition. And a quick note, the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin is a sponsor of WPR. With the midterm elections a little more than a year away, new data show both parties are pouring money into Wisconsin's closely watched 3rd District U.S. House race. Rich Kramer has the details.
The latest fundraising reports show Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden raised just over $1 million between July 1st and September 30th. Eau Claire Democrat Rebecca Cook brought in around $953,000. Van Orden also led on money spent and had around $500,000 more than Cook in the bank. With fewer competitive House races in the U.S., University of Wisconsin-La Crosse political science professor Anthony Chergosky says that means more money for swing districts like the 3rd.
There is an incredible amount of resources being poured into this election because both sides understandably view this as potentially pivotal in the broader outcome of majority control.
Cook faces two Democratic primary challengers, but their fundraising paled in comparison. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
After first receiving approval 2 years ago, Wisconsin's wolf harvest regulations are set to take effect in November. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources provided the update last week during its Wolf Advisory Committee meeting. Federal protections remain in place for wolves, but that could change. Scott Carroll is the DNR's regulation policy specialist.
This was the last thing that we had to do from a department perspective to be ready for a potential wolf delistment.
The Natural Resources Board approved the wolf harvest regulations 2 years ago. They reduced the window to register wolf kills, update harvest zone boundaries, and provide protections for wolf dens. The regulations are set to take effect after a Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling found a Republican-controlled legislative committee could not indefinitely block agency rules. The DNR's rule had been held up by Republican lawmakers. They wanted to include a statewide population range or goal for wolves, among other changes. The Great Lakes are seeing near record warm waters right now. As Danielle Kading reports, that means there's a higher chance for lake effect snow once the weather turns cold.
In mid-October, all five of the lakes were around 4 to 5.5 degrees warmer than their long-term average for the last 3 decades. That's according to data from NOAA's Great Lakes Environmental Research Lab. Eric Anderson is a former scientist with the lab and an associate professor at the Colorado School of Mines. He says the warmer surface waters are part of a trend of longer summers, and that means the lakes are staying warmer in the fall.
They're just below or just at that 2021 record for water temperature.
Preliminary data shows Lake Erie was at almost 66 degrees last week. Lake Michigan is roughly 5.5 degrees warmer than normal. With warmer waters, Anderson says the lakes are primed to see a higher possibility of lake effect snow. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, enrollment in Wisconsin's public schools has been declining for a decade. We'll talk to one school superintendent about his district's work to stabilize its student population. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, more than 805,000 students are currently enrolled across Wisconsin's 421 public school districts. That's 18,000 fewer students than 2 years ago, and it's part of a decline that spanned more than a decade. So what exactly can be done to keep students enrolled and schools open? The Manitowoc Public School District is seeing enrollment decline, but the administration is trying to stabilize its student count by acting on staff and community input. District Superintendent Lee Tennis joins now to talk about those efforts, what they look like, and what early impacts they're seeing. How does this year's K-12 enrollment compare to those previous numbers?
We're coming in 4,300 and some odd students, so that's down a couple hundred from last year. And we're seeing this decline being pretty steady. You know, you always look at your numbers, and our current senior class and last year's graduating class were the largest classes in the district. So, of course, you're losing a large number, and your incoming classes are much lower.
So what's the Manitowoc Public School District doing to try and attract and retain students?
In my view, there's several things happening. Some of them are out of our control, like birth rates and things of this nature. And then there's other things that are in our control, which is if we offer a comprehensive program that's better than everyone else with the way the situations are with choice, we should be able to get some of our kids back. The question we're asking ourselves is, you know, what are we in control of? And we're in control of many things in terms of our programming that offer opportunities for kids so that when they leave our school system, they're ready for what's next, whether that be college or career. And we've built some great foundational programs in both school to work and early college that we believe can help us pave the way to getting some kids back.
How are you asking staff members to get involved? I know there's this campaign of build your own district. What exactly does that mean? And what does it mean for trying to build out long-term planning for the district?
In our district right now, we have to look at consolidating our facilities and what our footprint is to essentially right size our district to be most efficient with the resources that we have. We began 2 advisory committees. One was made up of staff members from each of our schools. And then the second committee was made up of community members who volunteered. And we had over 40 community members volunteer to be part of this group. through this process, they came up with 56 or 58 different unique options of things we could do. They're going to move us to a situation where we're operating with less buildings. And so we're really not anticipating cost increases as a result of these decisions. We're really going to be looking at cost savings.
If you're consolidating buildings, do you have to update them as well?
Our high school's 102. Our two middle schools are 95 and 90, respectively. And they do need a lot of work. So we're very grateful that our community this past April passed a $25 million borrowing referendum for us so that we can get working on our most critical maintenance while we're doing this long-range planning. And so this has been helpful because even this summer, even though it was just passed in April, we were able to do over $2.5 million worth of projects. The next phase of this for us will be to figure out what we do with our secondary schools. According to a study we recently did with CESA 10, they were looking at over $60 million in maintenance needs. So a question needs to be had with our community, and we really believe strongly in community conversations. I will basically continue to use these advisory committees to help us figure out what's next with our middle buildings.
We keep talking about community input along the way, whether it's from the ideas that they've helped put together or that referendum. Why is it important to keep the community involved in these discussions and continue to get that input?
We have to remember that the purpose in which we exist is to help make our communities better and stronger. And I do truly believe that our educational systems are at the very foundation of a strong community. And my goal with them is to help not just maintain a good relationship, but really build that trust.
Lee, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Superintendent Lee Tennis of the Manitowoc Public School District discussing strategies surrounding enrollment decline. And of course, as always, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. A frost advisory in effect until 8 this morning for a good portion of the state. Starting off clear today, but some clouds building throughout, and we could see some light rain later on in northwestern parts of the state. High temperatures in the 60s today, pretty windy as well. Overnight, still windy, and a good chance for some storms across all of Wisconsin, with lows down into the 40s. And that'll do it for this Monday. Thank you so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crowe, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, don't forget to leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening right now. We appreciate your feedback, and it helps other people find the show as well. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.